Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all of our friends, our visitors, our members. Welcome to you all. And it's good to be here together. Together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Let us begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgives you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy,
that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. And then you'll have a project afterwards. So please follow Sally out. Have lots of fun. How's everyone today?
Well,
I'm good, thank you. Well, I thought we'd do some show and tell. You want some show and tell?
Sure.
So I want you to identify what this is.
Paperback.
Yes. If I just showed you this part, what do you think it is? It kind of goes on a horse.
A
horseshoe, that's right, it's a horseshoe. Except it kind of isn't a horseshoe. But it started out as a horseshoe that I went, took one of our kids for their birthday to a forge. And we were given a horseshoe, and the task was to turn it into a knife. Right? Now, I like to think that the horseshoe much rather wants to look like a cool knife than a horseshoe, just a little piece of a horseshoe, right? But do you know what you have to do in order to make a horseshoe into a knife?
Heat it up.
You gotta heat it up really hot. Have you ever seen a forge, kids? You put the metal into this huge fiery furnace till it's growing red, and the instructor tells you not to touch it with your hands, and you have these thick gloves on, because if you do touch it, your gloves start sizzling. So you have to have these clamps. Grab this clamp. And then what do you do with it? Ultimately, but you have to put it on an anvil, and then you get a big hammer out, and then you beat it, and you beat it, and then you put it back in the fire, and then you put it back in, and you beat it, and hours and hours and hours later, you get a knife. Now, that's a lot of work. Do you think that the horseshoe particularly likes to be put in the fire and then beaten for hours and hours and hours? Probably not. But it really likes being a knife. Because I'm a cool little orcish knife. Not supposed to be a joke. But the fire, and the process is what transforms something into just a normal horseshoe into a cool knife. And so our text today, and Jesus' teaching, is all about the fact that we go through some fires in the world, in our lives, that transform us into something beautiful. Even though we don't like going through the process, what comes out at the other end is really, really beautiful. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together, and then you're going to repeat after me. So one, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for turning me into something new.
Thank you for turning me into something new.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, and you are free to go with them.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading today is from Malachi chapter 4. Hear now the word. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who reverse my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 6 of your bulletin. I will read the light print, and please respond with a bold. Sing a new song to the Lord, which has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations.
You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout with joy before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein.
Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our second reading today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister living irresponsibly and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not responsible when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have the right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone willing to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
About the temple, how it was adorned with the beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' And the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes and in various places, famine and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your mind not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Appropriate theological term for a text like this is a doozy of a text. There's a lot going on. Well, liturgically, right, we're nearing the end of the church year. Next Sunday will be Christ the King. That ends the church year. And then, my friend, ready or not, we're in Advent. And we'll get this text, or a portion of this text, the first week of Advent. So if you have any questions, just hold them on. We get 2 weeks to go over. So my job today is not to say too much that I robbed myself of a sermon in 2 weeks. But if we see the pattern, the wisdom of our forebears who created the liturgy, not the liturgy, but the lectionary, is it the second to that last Sunday of the church year, so we get a text about what we might perceive as the end. And if we dance around that with a little bit, we realize something really quick, that we're misunderstanding the text. We have a conception that the word apocalypse means the end. You all have watched the apocalyptic movie, the asteroid coming, the volcano erupting, the great tsunami, or the zombie apocalypse. It's all the same. Apocalypse means the end. Post-apocalyptic movie is the time after the end, so after the zombies have descended, and there's some remnant of a remainder, so after the end, post-apocalyptic. But this is not, my friends, what the word means. This is not what this text is about. Apocalypse means an unveiling. It means the curtain is being drawn aside to look at what is real. And since it's almost Advent, apocalypse is like opening your Christmas present. You are unwrapping it to see what is inside. And the apocalyptic texts, the unveiling texts, are very popular at this time in Jesus, in the Second Temple Jewish period. There's about 30 of them, friends. One of the most popular forms of literature in this time. And they're always written in the midst of a crisis. And the crisis is couched as a prophecy of what will happen. See, the crisis comes, we're in crisis, we're going to write a prophecy like this was what will come, but it's actually what is encountered. And the whole purpose of the text is to give us hope in the midst of the crisis, to unveil something that's true. So what is this unveiling, my friends? Well, Jesus says it right out. All those beautiful stones will come crumbling down. There's an unveiling here about the true nature of reality, which is, friends, it's quite fragile. And in the midst of that fragility is a truth. It's the same truth that we have in our baptismal promises, friends. We die with Christ, and God raises up what is dead in the resurrection of Christ. Only we kind of want to skip the dying part, don't we? We'd rather not go through that dying process. We want to skip straight to the resurrection, but friends, life doesn't work like that. And so we are going to go through the dying part. And the hope in the midst of the crisis, whatever the crisis is. And friends, these texts have been read for the last 2,000 years, and everyone who reads them thinks, I'm the generation that Jesus is talking about. And you know why that is? Because every generation is the generation Jesus is talking about. Because there's crisis. You face crisis, you face crisis, the world is burning, the stones are falling, and yet something is being revealed. You, no matter what happens, are a beloved child of God. Your future is secure because the resurrection has occurred. And that life is now in you. So even in the midst of the stones falling, the buildings crashing, you are secure. Now, friends, if you were here last week, talked about the difference between the cup and what is in the cup. And the cup is a metaphor of our lives, these structures that we live in ourselves. And the cup can be beautiful and it holds us. The revealing today is that cup is going to break. And yet, the you that is in that cup goes on. And this is really the meaning of the last verse of Jesus says, by your endurance, you will gain your soul. Now we have some problems with this text because we hear it differently. We hear it something like, if I'm really good, do all the right things, then I get to go to heaven. Right? That's maybe how we hear it. Only that's not really what the text says. And the problem is this word soul. Because when we hear the word soul, we think it is something totally different than what the text means by the word soul. Our words and ancient words don't have the same meaning. But the word here is the same word that we get the word psychology from. So we're not talking about something in the other world or the beyond time. We're talking about the essence of what makes you living. And somehow, if we endure the world falling apart, if we endure our cup breaking apart, we can get the true sense of who we really are in Christ. And you see, that is the great paradox of our text. The great paradox is this. You're going to get arrested. That's really bad, right? But what does Jesus say? Don't worry. I'm going to tell you what to say so that you win your day in court. That's hopeful. You win your day in court, what does Jesus say? But you're still going to kill me. Well, that doesn't sound good. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. Our cups can break. The world around us can be on fire. And yet, God is saying something to us. Jesus is promising us that our souls are safe and secure and we can go on. And in the midst of that, because of that hope, because we know the waters of baptism promise us this, we will rise in the resurrection. Jesus will say, don't worry about it so much. Just go out and bear your cross for the sake of the world in love. Everything else is going to happen, let it happen. It doesn't really matter because you are safe and secure by the resurrection. Friends, second to the last Sunday, we start a new church here. Let us find some hope in this. Wherever you are in this world, wherever we face whatever the crisis is, and the crises will come, this is not the end. This is not the end of you. You are a child of God. And so what do? In the midst of the crisis, well, Jesus says it quite simply. Go out and testify. Go out and bear love. Bear the cross, your own cross, for the love of the world. And everything else will be okay. Even if it's not okay, it will be okay. And as we approach our table today, let us also remember the unveiling that is occurs here, where we encounter who we truly are. And who you truly are is a blessed child. You are the one whom Christ comes. You are the one for whom this body of Christ is for. It is for let us take strength in that, hope in that. And as Jesus says, then go out and bear a testimony to the world of this love. Amen.
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 Gathered with one voice, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of roots and branches, defend the leaders of your church as they proclaim the gospel using discernment, wisdom, and brave testimony. Keep all the baptized on righteous paths in response to Christ's call. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of roaring seas, in a world of earthquake, famine, and plague, use your mighty power to nurture the land and all that lives upon it. Restore peoples and places experiencing natural disasters. Strengthen organizations who provide aid to any in crisis. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of victory, among guests for power, guide those in government, courts, law enforcement agencies, and the military. Turn them from war and violence to actions of care that build up the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of healing, where injustice and exploitation result in populations that are marginalized or undeserved, accompany those abandoned by friends, hurt by family, and harmed by violence or oppression. Care for all who are ill, anxious, or in pain of any kind, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Mark, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corrine, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalina, Nev, and her parents and grandparents, Ed, Steve, Jean, family of Tony Tripp, or immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld, for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new songs, in a congregation of faithful believers, energize us for compassionate service and delight us through worship and inspired prayer. Encourage your people in building equitable community where all are valued. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of every generation, we remember the saints with steadfast love and faithfulness. Especially confident in Christ's victory over death, may we be inspired by the example of the faithful. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your grace and unyielding love. through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. God of healing and hope. You bless those who are hungry, promising to fill them with good things. Fulfill that promise through us and these your gifts. Nourish us with the abundance of your feast. And unite us to the blessed body of Jesus Christ, our Savior, now and forever.
Amen.
Supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirits of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor, glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together, as one by the Spirit, let us pray as Jesus Christ.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited to come forward and receive at this table. All means all, means all, which means all. All are invited. In a moment, the usher will come and will start on this side. We just ask that you fill in our communion rail from right to left, and you may stand or kneel to receive communion, whichever is most comfortable to you. Only come with your hand extended. The bread will be put in your hand. You do have gluten-free options upon request. And then the wine will be passed around, and we ask you then to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is green juice. If you wish to come and only receive a blessing, you may do that as well. Just have your arms crossed, and I'll say a prayer over you. But know that this table is the Lord's table, and we are all invited to this feast.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of field and flowers, wheat and grape, you have nourished us with the bread of heaven that gives us life to the world. Strengthened by the body and blood of your Son, send us out to gather your good gifts for all who are hungry and thirst, and embolden us to love and serve in Christ's name.
Amen.
Friends, we pause just briefly for some announcements, and I would like to draw your attention to the words of the week, which are the inserts in the bulletin with the full gamut of events going on this week. And it is a full week for us all, almost something almost every day. If you want to get involved, there's something for you. We have the book club on Tuesday and Thursday, and we're reading this wonderful book called Radical Amazement. We still have copies if you want to attend, even if you haven't read the book. Wednesday, we have contemplative prayer. We also have holy evening prayer and a simple supper downstairs at 6. So if you'd like to join the fellowship of Simple Supper, come at 6. If you want to join Holden Evening Worship, come here at 7. Do both, do one or the other. And also, Thursday beach walks, and if it's raining, you just gather in fellowship in the narthex. So if you would like some coffee and fellowship, do that. And many, many other things. So pay attention to the bulletin. But we would also like to make a special announcement that we'll be making in the next couple weeks, but that our stone soup dinner in December is the week before Christmas. So we're trying to create a holiday meal for that, and we want to have some Christmas cookies to give. So you're asking if you'd like to make some Christmas cookies, bring those to the church, and we put them in the freezer until that stone soup Monday. And also, we are going to be holding on that Monday after stone soup a service at the Episcopal Church, a Christmas service. And we're inviting all of our members, but especially those who prepare that meal that Wednesday, to join us for a worship opportunity with the clients that we serve at that meal. So with all that, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. The love of God, the sovereign strengthened, God the Son saved, God the Holy Spirit anoint you for the work ahead. The Holy Trinity bless you and grant you a faithful and courageous heart, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.